Hey there, everybody. Welcome into Joel Radio. A big show. A big World Cup edition of Joel Radio.
No!
That was actually pretty impressive.
There you go.
There you go. You didn't even know you could do that. Corey Hall's joining me. We are down to the round of four here.
Yep.
Corey Hall. It's the knockout round here on Joel Radio. Welcome in. We got a big show for you. We got more guests. We're going to talk about Metro Late Night a little bit more. We talked to Tom McCarthy last week. That was good. Tom is awesome. And we're going to talk about that. That's coming up. And as you're listening to this, it's less than a week away.
Yeah.
And Corey's going to be on that, and
yes.
you should go check that out at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak.
Dozens of comedy, maybe, I don't know, at least.
Well, I'm trying to think guests from this show that
Jeff Horst will be on the show.
Okay, Jeff Horst is on the show. Melissa Hager's been on the show.
We finally just had on recently.
Sam Silverstein's been on this show.
Okay.
You've been on this show.
I don't even know. I got to look at the list. I don't even know.
I lose track of who's been on the show, but it's a lot of guys that have been on this show. Including Corey. I'm actually not going to be there at all. I should be there, but I'm going to the Gathering of the Juggalos, so you guys can, if you're a Juggalo, catch me there on the 18th.
There you go.
Because I'll be over there. We're showing the family movie premiere over there. The Juggalo premiere.
Oh, okay.
With Taylor Schilling.
Now, that movie doesn't come
Kate
out for
McKinnon.
A while, though, right?
I'm not sure when that movie comes out, but if you look up, they made a movie called Family, which when I told Corey about this, Corey was like, this is the most impossible movie to Google search.
It's the terrible title.
Like, and it is, because when you type in family movie, it brings up Winnie the Pooh and shit like that. And
family
you're like, yeah.
Video.
Yeah, it's really hard to.
You know, I gotta look at, I'll Be Home for Christmas too.
Yeah, but basically, it's a story about I think it's a single mom who, played by Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black, and her daughter runs away to be a juggalo. And.
Okay,
you
I mean,
know,
it's a believable premise for a movie. It just. The title itself, and then they put it's like fam-ily.
Well, I mean, it's family, but
right,
it's
but
the chant family.
It's very difficult to Google search.
Yeah, I wonder if they should. I think everyone's going to go just call it the Juggalo movie ultimately, which is
they
fair.
How about Gathering?
Yeah, you know that's not the worst.
Better,
but I don't know that the kid actually goes to the gathering as part of the movie.
Okay.
But anyway. We're going to be showing the premiere of that.
Oh, man. Sam Rager's going to be on the Metro Late Night.
Oh, are we going point, counterpoint?
No.
You come see Sam Rager or Taylor Schilling's movie?
I'm just...
Well, I have the Dandy Punk playing at the Gathering.
Okay.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Dandy Punk is a guy who does a dance routine in front of a projection, and it's sort of like something you'd see on like America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent or something.
Okay.
And it's really fucking cool. He did it last year, and we brought him back because it's like a four-minute act. So we think a lot of people didn't see it, but the people that did were like,
and a four-minute,
that's the coolest thing anyone's ever seen.
And a four-minute act's about good for a Juggalo attention.
Well, you know, that's right. But the guy, it's actually pretty awesome, and he's really good. So you can see that. There's no actual stand-up comedy this year at the Gathering, which kind of bumps me out because...
Well, I will be debuting my one-man show.
Oh, what's that called?
At the Gathering. The
you're going to be there? I had no idea.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Oh, boy. Just don't, you know what? Because here's the thing. I have to go to the Gathering, and then people go, hey, Upchuck, we like the show, but that guy that does it with you is an asshole.
It's going to be called Dinette, and it will...
Dinette?
Yeah, so it'll be about my experiences as a lesbian woman sitting around having coffee.
All right.
What? Oh, that's
wait. We can't get into that because I haven't seen it.
All right.
You want to make fun of the Nanette?
It's a big
Netflix special.
It's a big thing on comedy message boards. I don't know how much it's made its way into the general public, but yeah, there's a special on Netflix called Nanette.
Yes,
that's causing a lot of controversy.
Well, we'll have to get into that on the next show.
All right,
because I haven't seen it. I don't know.
All right,
maybe I'll kill some downtime at the Gathering by streaming that Nanette.
If any Juggalo catches you watching, Nanette.
Yo, Violent J, you want to watch this Nanette shit?
Yo, yo.
Yo, Shags. Get over here, Shags. We're going to watch some...
Man, this
we're
going to
watch some Nanette.
This Hannah Gadsby drops mad truth, yo. Y'all like Australian muff diving?
Yo, Blaze, dead homie, come here. Blaze isn't with Psychopathic. He's not going to be there, but anyway.
No, he's in the... He's been unmade. All right. Well, we've talked about all kinds of things I wasn't going to talk about. Wow, we're already...
No, but we Metro Late Night. We're going to talk to Bouchard in a minute, so we got that all going right. on. It is World Cup as we're taping this, and yeah. by the time you've heard this, you probably already know who's in the finals. Corey and I have not even
yes.
seen the first of the semifinals. That's on as we're taping this here in a minute, and what else is happening? A lot of stuff. A lot of TV, movie stuff, a lot of streaming stuff. Netflix is dropping that heat, Corey. It's not just yeah. it's not just unfunny lesbians, Corey.
No?
No.
There's funny lesbians? That would be breaking news. If you found a funny lesbian.
I think if you can find a funny lesbian who was framed for a crime they didn't commit, I think that's the ultimate Netflix show.
Oh, it's,
I think that would be the like greatest
a,
Netflix
like
show
a
in history.
Like a one-woman true crime show?
Yeah, sort of.
Would that be great? She just
making a lesbian comedian.
Oh, God.
Making
well, I'd watch that. That's called Orange is the New Black. They have that show already.
Here's what we're going to do. So we're going to take this comedy show, and then we want you, the writer, to make a pass and take out all the jokes, and then girls will love it.
Look, we're awful. We're wrong.
Nah, we're not.
Okay. Joel hasn't seen it. I only watched part of it.
It's
all the Blaze. But I will say that when my major issue with that whole thing is that people call it stand-up.
Well,
and
yeah.
And it's not stand-up. And this is a problem that extends beyond Nanette.
Yeah.
A lot of what is being passed off as stand-up these days
yes.
is confessional one-person shows.
Yes.
And there is a difference.
Yeah, there is.
It's a weird, almost immaterial difference to most people.
Yes.
But there's definitely a difference.
Well, I mean, I think the difference is... I don't think the difference is from the audience's perspective. I think the difference is from what is the intention of the person that's delivering the performance. If the intention of the person delivering the performance is to make the audience laugh... And that is the main goal of it. Not that you can't have other things along yeah. the way. I think then it's stand-up. I think then it's comedy. I'm not saying everything there is stand-up comedy because, you know, improv's goal is to make you laugh.
Is it?
And, well, I'm not saying it's successful, but improv's goal is to make you laugh. But, you know, I mean, I think when you talk about something like this, just based upon other sort of, you know, Tig Notaro or something like that, yeah. That's not always the main goal.
Well,
and if the goal is to move you emotionally in another way, I'm not saying that that's invalid, but I think I will be with you in the fact that that's not stand-up comedy because the goal, the intention of the person delivering the performance is not to make the audience members laugh.
I hate to,
and not the primary goal.
I hate to agree with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
But I'm kind of leaning in Jerry's direction. In
Seinfeld is quite the curmudgeon nowadays, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot
Did you watch any of the David Letterman because Seinfeld was on Letterman.
I'm like saying,
yeah.
Which Netflix show
Speaking
was this
Netflix,
on? Seinfeld's
right.
Netflix show
well, no,
or Letterman's
yeah,
Netflix
that
show?
That new season just dropped. Yes. I haven't gotten into those yet.
I read just the headline of a review saying, hey, the time, it was good in its day, but it's time to end this Comedians in Cars thing. And some people were just picking on Jerry because he always goes, you know, he doesn't like topical jokes. He doesn't like right. political stuff in comedy. And I'm kind
no,
of with
I
him
don't
in
like
a
it.
Sense.
Eh. Well, yeah. the thing is, look, being a political comic is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Bill Maher is a totally different thing
right.
from what Jerry does. I watched Jerry's special. It was okay.
Okay.
His latest one. Mm. He went back to the comedy. He went back to not even the comedy store. He went back to the comic strip.
Oh, okay.
In New York.
The comic strip, yeah.
And it was all, you know, why do I need oatmeal in an instant?
But, you know,
can I wait for oatmeal
Jerry,
in its own time?
I don't know, famously, but Jerry is known for not being a comedy store guy.
No.
And Mitzi didn't like Jerry all that much, so Jerry
Well, he talks about that on the Letterman thing.
Okay, yeah.
Because
I think he talked about it with Shandling and that Comedians in
yeah.
Cars. Yeah.
Letterman on the David Letterman's and my next guest is, which he has had, you want to talk about unfunny. he had the girl that got shot in the head in Pakistan.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Boy, it's about sucking the air out of the room.
Well, and she's, it's fascinating.
She's on what?
On Letterman's show.
Oh.
Yes.
He talks, how long is that episode? 3 minutes?
2.5 hours.
No, jeez, oh fuck.
And that's the thing. It's like, she's an amazing, I mean, it's an amazing story.
I thought his next guest needed no introduction.
Yes.
You better tell me who the fuck that is, because if I turn it on and it's not Barack Obama or George Clooney, I'm going to be like, fuck
well,
this
okay,
shit.
Well, okay, Obama is engaging.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not.
Right, but I'm saying...
Obviously I wish he was back every day, but Obama can be interesting.
The premise of Letterman's show is that the guests need no introduction. When you bring on somebody I never heard of, then the premise is blown.
You're saying that Malala Yousafzai...
Yes.
...is not coming fresh to your name.
No. Right?
But it's like Dave's trying to do deeper interviews.
He's trying to do NPR or something.
I don't know what he's trying to do, because... But then he's got Tina Fey and Jerry Seinfeld,
yeah,
and those people are going to sit there and try and do jokes. You know, I mean, you bring comics out.
I think since Charlie Rose, got his old man penis out, yeah, there's a void in that hour.
Yes,
Bordeaux talk, whatever.
You didn't watch the genre. Stern one either, did you?
Oh no, I watched it.
Oh,
I turned the fucking thing off after about 12 minutes because I was like, I'm hearing, I have watched probably to the exclusion of every other performer, broadcaster, media personality, probably watch those and listen to those two guys more than anybody else,
sure,
in the world. And I didn't hear a goddamn fresh new thought from
it
either guy.
Stuff
it's fine because I love both of those guys and they're legends and they're giants and their influences and all that stuff. But I got shit to do.
There was a little bit of interesting stuff about their personal relationship.
Okay, yeah.
Or the fact that
I should get back to it, but I just haven't.
Like, I think legitimately Howard loves Dave.
Yeah.
But Dave is unlovable.
Right.
Or unknowable.
Well.
And what I thought was interesting, we'll get off this Letterman topic, but Seinfeld busted his nuts a little bit.
Okay.
And that's what I do like about Jerry now.
Yeah.
Not that I ever, in the old days, in the 90s, I would have been, when Stern and Gilbert were calling and goofing on Jerry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought Jerry, I liked the show enough, but yeah, I thought Jerry's stand-up was kind of old farty, old fashioned-y, even back then.
Well,
you know, it's just a different style of.
Seinfeld was Robert Klein, which had very few edges anyway.
Yeah.
But he sanded the edges off Robert Klein to make
observational humor.
I mean, but it was observational stuff about cereal,
right,
and Tide and McDonald's lines.
Jerry was the icon of yuppie late baby boomer comedy.
Yes. Right.
Whereas Robert Klein's the earlier baby boomers.
Yes.
Jerry's the end of the tail end of the baby,
yeah,
boomers.
Right. Yeah.
Into the Xers.
Right.
And anyway, but the nice thing is on the Letterman thing, Jerry doesn't give a shit anymore.
Well, yeah.
So he kind of, and Letterman continues to pull his fucking, well, I didn't make any important impact on the world.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. And Letterman's like, what are you talking about? Like Seinfeld's like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Like he busts his nuts a little
but,
bit. And I like the freedom Jerry has to do that.
And
which is what he does on Comedians in Cars.
The other thing, the other reason I can't watch probably that Letterman Stern thing all the way through is that my girlfriend will not watch that for a second.
Oh, well.
And it's not like she won't say, hey, you
like
can put that on.
Not like you don't have time to watch it when she's not
no,
here.
No, well, I don't know. She just, she won't. Okay, so I put on Comedians in Cars, Amy Schumer. And she was all about it.
Sure.
And then I went like, okay, well, let me watch the Steve Martin one. I haven't seen that.
She didn't like
and
that.
She, about halfway through, she went like, you know, I'm going to go in the lit. I'm going to go in the bathroom and kind of, you know, work on my hair and stuff. And I was like, okay, you go ahead. And, you know,
well,
and she goes, yeah, you don't need to pause this. You ever put on something and your girlfriend or your wife goes, yeah, you don't need to pause this. And then you go, oh, okay, you don't like this.
Well, I don't tell my girlfriend what I saved on for my wife. But no, please. I can only handle one at this point. Now,
it would be good to have the girlfriend just for the shows.
Yeah.
Like, hey, my girlfriend won't watch this, but the side piece, like is all about like Steve Martin. Yeah.
You pick up a chick that's into the stuff your wife won't watch. Yeah. That's a good, you know what? Solid point.
Listen, I'm not fucking her, but she loves the Ruddles, Corey. So
yeah.
I'm gonna go hang out with this one for a little bit.
Well,
that would be a good thing. Yeah, I mean,
if
just
she liked
like
the Ruddles, I'd be fucking her.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
Look, no, I've got a DVR laden. I have a DVR overburdened with stuff that my wife is gonna have to get to.
I know.
like, I just tape movies for her and stuff all the time, and she just hasn't watched them. And
right.
And it's like, or there's stuff I can't watch. So this is why everybody's like, did you watch this? Did you watch all 12 episodes of The New Glow?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, because I gotta save the stuff for the wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't, you know, we're...
Yeah, we'll talk about Glow in more depth, but yeah, you gotta save that.
Well, we're way behind.
Have you gotten your girlfriend... Okay, let me ask you this. We'll talk about Glow in a minute. Have you gotten your wife to like anything that she maybe wouldn't have liked... By you going, hey, I'd like to watch this, and her going, okay, I'll give it a shot, and then she gets into it? Because I've got a couple things that I think I've kind of gotten.
Not necessarily. She's pretty fixed in her...
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff I like that she doesn't, she'll tolerate a little bit
of. Does she watch, like, the Lions or World Cup or anything?
Football is the sport she's most tolerant to.
Okay, yeah.
Like, if the football...
I mean, I think I've watched the Super Bowl with your wife and you and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. She'll watch NFL more than anything else.
Okay.
And she has gotten into a couple of the World Cup games.
Okay.
Like France.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other, she was rooting them on when they clobbered Uruguay.
Okay.
But anyway, she'll get into some stuff. And well, she'll kind of go, she thinks the soccer guys are cute.
Okay, well, there's
Or
there's,
you know,
that.
Yeah,
or
when
yeah,
they,
yeah, yeah.
She likes when they do the dog pile on each other after they score a goal and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, my girlfriend actually will watch with me now, and she actually got mad when I watched it without her, but she watches the Being the Elite YouTube show, which is the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and all those guys.
Oh, Jesus.
And they do a weekly YouTube show, which is kind of behind the scenes. And it's, you know, it's fictionalized. It's a bunch of skits and backstage wrestling stuff. But she actually really likes that because she thinks it's funny. And then when we went to the Ring of Honor show in Royal Oak, they actually shot, there was a wedding proposal in the ring, and they shot it, and it was on the show. So she was into that.
0% chance I'll get my wife to watch wrestling.
Well, I didn't think my girlfriend watches it, and then I also got her watching Botchamania, which is all the wrestling bloopers. Those come out every couple of weeks. And she thinks it's funny just because it's people fucking up wrestling and tables that don't break, and he actually does a really good job of editing those together and stuff. Oh. So she'll watch that, and she will watch... She's watched the occasional wrestling show. If it's like the guy she knows from Being the Elite, she'll watch it.
Wrestling to me is an entirely, that's like, it's a monastery. It's like no chicks allowed.
No, I'm, you know,
I have never, never had any success or even considered for a nanosecond. Any girl I ever dated before my wife would ever watch a minute of wrestling.
Okay.
Or would my wife. That's been an entirely... no women will put up with that at all.
Well, I've taken girls to wrestling shows in the last couple of years. And they've enjoyed it. Now, they're not like when I did three Ring of Honor shows.
How desperate
my
are
girlfriend
women?
Was
my
like,
God.
All right, I'm not going to these. And I didn't have tickets anyway.
That's insane.
But you know, when I took, you know, I went to New Japan last summer in California, and Heather Kozlikowski, my ex, was out there, and she went with me and had a good time. So.
Wow.
I don't know. It's one of those things. But yeah, I wouldn't go like, hey, let's watch Monday Night Raw, because I'm not going to enjoy that, you know. But anyway. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Metro Late Night. Let's get back into that. Because, you know, we're going to talk to Bill here in a second, and he's one of the guys that's behind this. And, you know, we talked about it with Tom last week.
Look, I'm on the show. I don't really know what's going on.
Well, what question should we ask of Bill before I call him? I mean, do you have any?
Why are you even bothering?
I'll bring it up.
Aren't we all doomed to fail?
Well, look, I mean, but is this, who's the brainchild of this? Is it Justin Ponce, or is it Tom McCarthy, or is it Bill?
Well, we'll know if it's a success.
If it's success, Bill's going to take credit?
Yeah. Well, you know, as you know,
if it's not a success, it was all Tom's idea.
Failure is an orphan. Right, success has many fathers.
Right, well, let's get to the bottom of it with him right now, because, you know, I don't know. And you don't either. But if he answers.
Hello.
Mr. Bouchard.
How are you?
Joel Radio here. Corey Hall.
The enthusiasm.
Well, I think the first question was about Metro Late Night that we had. And I said this to Corey. And
we're launching right into this. Okay,
we're
let's
going
do
right.
This.
Well, what else are we going to do? What'd you have for lunch today, Bill? Who gives a shit? Here's the thing.
I had two Entenmann cupcakes.
Wow. Way to go. Look at you. Good. That's the way. That's that. You ate yours and mine because I'm dieting. So you go ahead. I'm losing more weight, believe it or not. But here's okay. So here's the thing. I said, whose idea was Metro Late Night? And Corey said, if it's a success, it'll be Bill's. And if it's a failure, it's Tom McCarthy's.
That's perfectly correct.
I said, well, they can both blame Justin Ponce, and then we'll just be done with that. So I don't know.
Well,
but give us,
you figured out my plan.
Exactly. Well, give us the origin story then. Who came up with this idea? Who went to who?
A while back, we were kicking around doing something, some event planning or surrounding comedy.
Okay.
And we wanted to do, we wanted to do a festival.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it was like a race to the moon for everybody to do festivals all of a sudden. And they're everywhere. So we were just kicking it around. But the actual idea, we were sitting around, and I hate to admit it, but it may have come out of my mouth that maybe we should try to do some type of local television show because nobody's doing it. And then just one thing led to another. And Justin has some contacts being at WDIV and some inside some people. So it just kind of all grew from there.
Okay. So it sounds like you said, hey, we should do a festival. Who's going to hit this? Was that the conversation? Was that how the conversation?
who wants to do a festival? For God's sake, time and effort.
It seems like the time. I think festivals are a lot of ways guys who don't realize how to make money in the business. You know what I mean?
I booked
it. It's just so difficult, too, just the organizing and the getting the talent and keeping people enthused. If you can do it, that's great. But I just think it's a lot of work.
I booked an open mic this week, and I'm tired.
Yes, Corey's rocking the open mic tonight.
Did that happen already?
No.
We can't even. We shouldn't even plug it because they won't hear it till it's over.
Okay.
Yes. But it was too much for me to handle emails from guys who wanted time on an open mic.
Yeah.
So how could you do a festival?
Right. Yes. Well, I've been sending everyone your way who asked me about Metro Late Night, and it's like, well, who do I talk to to get?
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works too? Everybody wants to get on something they know nothing about.
Yeah,
I'm on it and I know nothing about it. So
the funny thing is, it's a show, and we just get the 20 people together and you record it, and then all the other stuff happens in the post production. We're just hoping to get some people to show up. Get an audience and hopefully get some solid sets out of some.
There's going to be some pre-shot stuff too, right? There's going to be some bits and pieces that are.
Yes, I'm not really handling that. And the things that's going to be handled by the comic mind of Tom McCarthy and Adam Herzl.
Oh.
They're doing some stuff. So Adam's going to be like have an on-air presence.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they ran a pre-tape at the Comedy Castle last week for the show. And it was a man on the street thing.
Oh.
I did not know this.
Yeah, it ran. So
Adam Herzl, who I call the fifth BG. Looks like a
It wasn't. I think
it's like a lost Gibb brother.
I think it was mostly Justin is doing, but anyway, that did run. So I don't know,
Oh, I know that. I saw that one.
Yeah. So if no one's there, that's why. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But the lineup is really solid. Give us the lineup again. I know we talked about Corey's on it and some people that have been on this show.
Nah, you got Nate
Melissa
Armbruster,
Hager,
Melanie Hearn.
Yeah.
Blaine Hill. You got the Kyle Forsyth, Melissa Hager.
Yeah.
And Ray Hollifield's on there. Darnell Anderson. Did I already say Blaine Hill? I don't have the list in front of me, man. There's a buttload of good guys.
I only have one question.
I've seen everybody do well that is on the show. I've worked with a lot of them, too. So
is Blaine Hill on this show? Okay, I'm kidding. But here's the...
What about
leave Blaine alone now.
What about Hannah Gadsby? Is she going to do 25 minutes on the net?
Yeah, I know we're.
And I got Jane Dabb going up too.
Oh so. God!
Yeah, I knew you guys.
are you serious about that?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay,
I'm
thank
kidding.
God.
When they're looking to get canceled,
I got a little clench of my butt cheeks.
That'll be the one. Now, Jason Carr, how involved is he with this whole thing? For those of you who don't know, if you're not in Detroit,
he's coming out.
He's a morning guy
on
Channel 4.
He's going to host and make an appearance as a courtesy.
Okay.
And maybe tell some jokes. I'm hoping that's going to be the case, that he has something maybe he wants to try out. But he'll be the host with the most.
Yeah.
Jason's
got a lot of experience with this stuff. So
he's a big fan of comedians. Lindsay. He's been very nice to us and having us on the various morning shows he does. So, yeah, good guy.
Well, it sounds like quite the time. Corey, like I said, is going to be there, so go watch him do
Corey some Hall will be there anchoring the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means dragging it down.
Now, how much, what's the language restriction on a show like this? Can people...
No swearing, you know, hell or damn, PG-13.
Okay, because it's you're targeting late night television, so you'd be in safe harbor. It's not a thing.
And I really don't have a, you know, I don't know how hard it is to bleep something.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's that hard to bleep if you said...
I'm not going to, you know... flip out if somebody lets
there's a lot
fly,
of words
you know,
you can,
happens.
There's a lot of words you can say on late night TV now that you couldn't before. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well, we'll hear some of those, I'm assuming, and the whole thing. And again, I don't know if you're aware, Bill, but I will not be there. So I
why aren't you ever there when I'm there?
Because I'm doing.
I'm starting to think you're me. We're never in the same room.
I'm doing the Gathering of the Juggalos. That starts that night.
Oh, so Kyle, he's back at it.
I got to go down there.
And do something
that.
Weird this year, man.
Do something weird. I've been fucking doing weird shit for 16 years.
Get a sexually transmitted disease or something.
Yeah, no, hold on. Do something weird. Bring books. With you.
Bathe, Joel. Do something strange.
Are they still squirting Faygo all over everybody?
Oh, yeah,
tradition?
Sure. Absolutely.
Bring a copy of the Sunday New York Times with you to the gathering.
Yeah, you have a comics there, Joel?
You know what? We were just talking about it. There's no stand up this year for some. I'm not sure exactly why, but
I thought that was a big part of it.
Well, we have a guy named Clownvis who does an Elvis act as a clown. Like, he's a touring, I don't even know much about, but no, Clownvis is a known guy. I've not seen
him. You better watch
yourself.
Act. He's gunning for your job.
Well, listen, he can have it
Clownvis.
At this point. But like I said, there's Clownvis. We're showing this indie movie with Kate McKinnon about juggalos, which I don't know what that's going
to
be like.
Now,
but
I'm about to jump into this small pool. All right, now watch me now. Honk, honk, honk.
I'm going chicken hunting. Who's going chicken hunting? You ain't nothing but a juggalo, crying all the time. You ain't never drunk a Faygo, and you ain't no friend of mine.
Oh, what? You know what? We don't need Clownvis.
You said you was high class.
We got Upchuck.
You take his check, Joel. Go ahead and do the Clownvis bit. All right.
I'm gonna take a blackjack and not knock out Clownvis backstage.
What happened to the Upchuck show?
You know, I used to do like internet radio, and then that was like streaming video for a while, and then they kind of cut back on that. They cut back to one show a week, and like usually it's ICP that hosts it, so they don't really.
That's
have
a small demographic cutter.
Yeah, it is. It's so I've done less Upchuck stuff in the last like 5 years or something, but whatever. They still like me at the gathering, and I like doing it.
Hey, as long as there's divorce, there's going to be fans for Upchuck.
That's right.
As long as there's alienated teenagers, there will be an Upchuck fan base, and I will be there to provide it. But you know, they've started. You know, over every time I go there. They ask me about the podcast. They ask me about stand-up. They ask me about, you know, whatever. And I always do stand-up at the gathering, at least for a few minutes. So, you know, I always... Usually it's in...
They ask
you
about how to get a GED.
Joel, if you went out and did, like, a special engagement or an appearance somewhere as Upchuck, would people show up?
You know, If you promoted it well, I think I'd probably do okay with it. But you know, it's a tough thing because when I promote my regular comedy gigs as Upchuck, you might get like a handful of juggalos. You know what I mean? You'll get five or six. Yeah. So I don't know if saying, hey, all, you know what I mean? Like, you'd rather promote it to everybody and then also let the juggalos know that it's happening rather than trying to promote it to juggalos.
They don't
and
mix,
not to the general public because...
They don't mix well with the general public.
Well,
really,
it's just, it's, I think the general public would look at that and go, there's no way that's going to be good. Which maybe they're right, but you know, I think so. Ultimately, I think the more and I think the Gathering of the Juggalos, just as an example of an event, for many years was marketed more to sort of everybody as opposed to the Juggalos, and the event got really really big. But then it also had problems that wouldn't have happened had they just targeted Juggalos.
Now,
so in the last few years, they've made it a smaller event that is more targeted. And I think people are generally happier with it.
Now
in a
it's
lot
marketed
of
more toward law enforcement, ATF, FBI.
Where's ICE in all this? They're going to let the juggalos
go? Yeah, round them up. Let's go.
The one thing is for sure, when you have that, the juggalos meeting, you know there's not going to be any school shootings that week.
All right.
Now, they're all out there.
Let's get more into, enough about Joel. What's going on with Bill? You went to Amsterdam recently.
Yeah, I went to Amsterdam recently. Yeah, it was fun, man.
Did the continent survive? How did that?
Well, you know what? I think they're figuring it out over there. That we're a little behind the behind the eight ball on how people should live. But it was great, man. Smoked some weed. Saw a live sex show. Wow. You know.
Sounds like the gathering of the juggalos, actually. I think the juggalos might have figured out this whole Amsterdam thing.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
They just took it on the fucking road, man. No Faygo in Amsterdam.
Yeah, though. Well.
No, Bill asked me about Amsterdam before he went, and I was like, they made it for you. It's kind
of a lot of beer drinking, a lot of walking around, lots of walking, man. A lot of museums,
but
all that shit.
I think the thing
you act like you have to do to be smart.
Yeah,
you went to the Van Gogh Museum.
Well, I think Amsterdam is a place that really more than ever needs all that culture because the whole weed thing is now going to be everywhere. And that's not going to have the hook that it does.
Yeah, the
there
hook is gone.
Because you can go to Denver and do most of that shit there.
Still a beautiful city.
Yeah,
really
that's the thing.
It and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's probably a once in a lifetime thing that we'll do. So,
did you guys did you go on the canals and ride the boats and stuff?
Yeah, I did the canals. I went to the Wax Museum, which, you know, shows you how white trash I am. That was my favorite museum.
So. that's it. Well. I mean, when you're
putting this stuff in the act, Bill, this is good material.
Yeah.
I love it, man. We were sitting around acting like we're kissing George Clooney. You know, that kind of thing.
I'll tell you what. I had a great time in Niagara Falls. I went to a wax museum right as, like, it was closing, so, like, no one was in there. And it was fucking so fun. And it was, like, there was just no one, and it was just, like, do whatever you fucking wanted. There's no staff around. You can fucking bend over the Jennifer Aniston wax figure
if you wanted
to.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing in there?
It was great. It was fantastic. It was so fun. But, I mean...
Bend over Jennifer.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, if you were there with, like, lots of kids and stuff, it wouldn't have been as much fun, you know? It was good. I went in bed with John and Yoko. I was in a DeLorean with Marty and McFly.
He did it all, including Jennifer Aniston.
Did you stop by the Dustin Diamond wax figure and open for him?
That's who you should get to do the juggalos, Dustin Diamond.
Well, he's been there. Yeah, he didn't do stand-up, but he hosted the main stage one year, and I said hi to him for a minute. I don't know. He didn't like. He was a swell enough guy. Like he wasn't a bad. You know, I didn't like. You know, whatever. He was there with his girlfriend or his wife or whatever. And,
fake news. He's a good guy.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. You meet some of these people, and there's people that you want to like that aren't nice, and there's people that you think are going to be assholes who are super cool.
What about Urkel?
Did he have a sex tape?
Yes, he did. Yes, of course. I remember watching. I think you weren't married at the time, but me, you, and your current wife watched that.
Wow.
Together, the Dustin Diamond sex tape.
Oh.
Probably after a podcast.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
She still married me.
She stuck around.
That's, I was complaining about you making your girlfriend watch wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess I did something worse.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Well, the porn's not
You know what? I think I blocked that out.
You left, Joel had a fucking hot tub party. You know?
Oh, yeah.
She was there for those. But here's the point. But have you successfully, and Bill, I'll throw it to you, because Corey and I were talking about that, pornography and your significant other, is that a thing that happens, or is that...
Do we watch porn together?
Yeah, have you ever? I mean, you know...
Okay, yes, we have. We've watched porn together.
Okay, yeah. Corey, any comment on
that? Not so much. No.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've had girlfriends that would do it, but it's never been a regular thing.
My wife is the one encouraging us to go to the show in Amsterdam.
Wow.
There you go.
You really did luck out. You got a good one. I tell you what. Yeah.
I was in New York City with a girl, and she wanted to go to a peep show booth because she didn't know what it was, and she would have felt more comfortable because I was there. So we went there, and then somebody got mad because there was two of us in a booth. One of the staff.
What?
You think that'd be encouraged?
I don't know. I think they thought I picked up a hooker or something and brought her into a peep show booth. But so that was that. I had to excuse myself and let her watch it by herself.
Oh my. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so I mean, it's not a thing that I, and certainly the current girlfriends.
Well, we were actually, I was actually in Amsterdam on my honeymoon.
Oh, okay.
Which it's a little hard to be like, honey, this is so romantic. You want to watch a girl shoot a ping pong ball out of her cooch?
Yeah, yeah. But, can't
you know, we
it.
Didn't go to any of those. They were too expensive. We just went to the peep show. It's a lot cheaper. And then,
yeah.
And then, you know, we went down the red light district, a couple of those, check out the chicks in the,
That's crazy, isn't
they're
it?
Shaking the
window girls, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm come out several times throwing water at people and plastic at people for taking their pictures.
Oh.
I mean, they were on them like you wouldn't believe, man.
Don't photograph these girls.
Don't photograph.
We're not here to be photographed. We're here to be fucked. Let's get this straight.
We don't want to get photographed because then next thing you know, the guy who kidnapped me is going to go to jail and I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, I mean, they might have nice office jobs, Bill, that they don't want. God forbid, someone puts that on Facebook, you're standing on the goddamn street corner in a window. But if this ends up on Twitter, I'm going to lose my job as a paralegal.
Now, where are you sending those pictures? Instagram or Interpol?
Well, Bill, I also should, because, you know, this comes up, I don't want to say on a day, almost a daily basis. People find out that I teach comedy and they want to take my class. And
yes.
Then I tell them they can't take my class because it's only for comedians, because it's an advanced comedy class, so they need to take your class. So tell everybody about the beginner comedy class at the Comedy Cast, how they can sign up, when that starts, the whole thing.
Next one starts on July 14th, right. 10 a.m., which is a great time to start stand-up in the morning.
Yeah.
Basically what we're doing is just trying to write an act, a seven-minute act, get your thoughts organized, get them enthusiastic, keep them motivated, the final show, and then I try to shove them off to Joel.
Yes, and then I take them. And.
But it's really just to see, you know how it is, just to get them started out, get them acclimated, because, you know, when I first got involved, I took that class.
Yeah.
I had no idea even where to begin. I had no clue on anything. And I think that's what the class is good for,
and,
is at least giving you a reference point and a starting point.
And you took that class.
We know this business. We're not teaching them anything that they're going to find out on their own.
Yes, but it might take you. It might take you. You know, in my case, you know, my class is taught from like, hey, this is shit that I learned in the first 5 years of doing comedy. Right into a gig with Bill Hildebrand or somebody, you know what I mean? And then you sort kind of distill all those back of the club conversations after a show with guys into an actual lesson.
I never took the class, but Bill did basically teach me a lot about comedy.
Yeah.
Just by being him. And
that's what you need, though. You need that. You need somebody to give you a little something, you know?
I learned at the Timberwolf Tavern.
Yes.
We all did.
That was my comedy.
Well, it is the 10 a.m. Saturday. Bill is teaching there. Call the Comedy Castle to sign up. There's one that starts the 14th, but they start every 6-8 weeks or so. And Bill's a good teacher.
Do you have a website? Somebody just wants to book you. I know you're a comedy coach. What is your handle there?
Say it again.
If we want to book you or somebody wants to take the class, is it Comedy Coach?
No, they don't go there anymore. I just have them go to the Castle website.
Okay.
Comedy Castle website has information on the classes. Go there. Yeah. If you're a comic who's been doing it and you want to do the advanced class, I had 11 students sign up, Bill, when I started
this past week.
And boy, and they're good. I tell you, I saw this Cody. Cody, what's his name? He's a 5'2" black guy, and he's funny as hell.
Enthusiastic as hell.
I like that kid. That kid was good.
Good energy about him.
Yeah, I like him. I told him, I said, this is my review of him after his first week. I go, you have no idea what you're doing, and when you know what you're doing, you're going to be dangerous and no one's going to want to follow you.
Yeah,
that's what I told him.
I agree.
And
he did really good on his grad show. The kid went out there and was just himself, and he got some big-ass laughs.
Yeah, so he's good. So, all right, Bill, we're going to say good night for now. Good afternoon.
All right,
Metro
man.
Late Night next
it.
Wednesday, the 18th. ComedyCastle.com. I believe you got a call for reservations, or are you selling those tickets?
Call for reservations.
All right.
You know the number, 248-542-9900.
Yes, go get your reservations for Metro Late Night. Bill Bouchard, his production, Tom McCarthy, who you heard last week, Corey Hall.
Only
performing.
If it's a success.
Only if it's
not
a success. Well, we'll do the exit interview on the next show. You'll tell us where it went wrong and how you're not doing it anymore. So. All right, Bill. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. See you guys.
Catch you later. Bill Bouchard, everybody. There it is.
The great Bill Bouchard.
The great Bill Bouchard.
Yes. Mate, the only successful comedian waitress, comedy club waitress, all time.
Listen, I've had great comedian waitress relationships that have lasted 90 minutes, 2 hours.
Exactly,
I mean, those
exactly.
have been fine in the past.
No, Bill's wife's great. She's very good.
Yeah, Susie. Shout out to Susie.
There you go. Come see the show. We need bodies.
We need bodies. And I believe it's probably doing well already.
Look, it's the 18th. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, come out. If you're not, start traveling.
He booked that plane ticket now.
Start coming from the Yukon, wherever you got to come from.
Are you calling out Cam and Yellowknife?
Brazil. Wherever it is,
yes.
Detroit in the summertime, it's a beautiful place to be.
I'll tell you, there
you
are
come
so
to Royal
many...
Oak and not park anywhere because the city's destroyed all the parking.
You know what? I would do a show about the city of Royal Oak because I have, you know, a lot of kind of knowledge just working there and stuff. It is, but it's so inside and it's so like stuff that people wouldn't even give a shit about if you don't live here that I'm not going to. But it is a weird, shit is going on there, it's not good for. It is very, very good news for a very, very small amount of people. Yeah. And, I mean, it is a lot of what's happening in downtown Detroit, but in a smaller sort of microcosm, but without that ripple effect of helping everybody.
So Royal Oak, which is like the kind of the entertainment destination for southern Oakland County for a lot of people, is now facing increased. Detroit's come back in a big way. Mm-hmm. And the dining scenes exploded down there, and then Ferndale, which is nearby. So Royal Oaks had this stranglehold on kind of like a weekend party thing for a long time.
Right.
Well, they suddenly decided they want to build this big office building.
Yes.
They're building these big...
We're doing the show now.
They're building these
big... The show we didn't want to do,
I know,
doing
I'm
right
just
now.
Saying, they're building these big hotels.
Yes.
And it's all... I think this is applicable not just to Royal Oak, but to a lot of things that are going on right now in the country about walkable... Everybody wants a walkable downtown.
Yes.
Well, but then what they do is they're building this giant project where they're replacing the city hall with a new building.
Yes.
And they're building an office tower.
A lot of it is...
And it's going to change the whole setup of downtown. And they took out like 500 parking spots.
A lot of it is we are serving the city government are the guys. And that's what one of the things that's real sleazy about it is... Business owners are getting pushed out, essentially, because in the case of, like, okay, the most recent example, Andiamo and Royal Oak is closing, okay?
Right.
The parking lot behind Andiamo and Royal Oak has been torn up because they're building a deck there, but for probably the better part of a year, you're not going to be able to park and go to any of those, you know, you're not going to be able to park conveniently and go to those businesses. And those businesses include, you know, places like Mr. B's, Andiamo's, whatever, the sushi place that's there, Little Tree and all that stuff. Probably a slight ding to Comedy Castle's parking, even though there are lots closer to the club.
Yeah, but it is.
So,
it's definitely.
And so, you know, the Rock on Third, a lot of their parking is being taken away. So it's challenging in that way, but Royal Oak, I think, is what they're saying is, we know we've got the late-night restaurant bar crowd. The problem is the late night restaurant bar crowd isn't putting enough money into our pockets. Therefore, if we have office space that we can integrate with these things, but we don't have a building that's over two stories tall that can accommodate any of these things.
In my lifetime, Royal Oak's gone through a couple different life cycles. In the early 80s, it was kind of a ghost town.
Yeah.
It was vacuum cleaner repair.
It was mom and pop business.
You know what I mean? It was older stuff. It was like bakeries and vacuum cleaner repair, and there were like three or four diners.
Okay, yeah.
There was like Maxi's and the R&J and the Lantern that were like, you know, just down-home dinery, 24 hours. Well, those were open all the time, so that started attracting kids.
Yeah.
You know, you could smoke a cigarette and drink coffee and eat, you know, eat a plate of fries and milk that. Well, then that brought in real retail, then you had hipster retail come in, right? Like noir leather.
Sure. That was sort of the late 80s, 90s.
Then the 90s. Sort of era, so you had this revolution of like all these cool hipster retail. That drew more kids.
Yeah.
So then the punks came in.
Yeah.
Well, then people were like, oh, look at all these punks that are hanging on the corner. So they came to like kind of watch the show.
Yeah.
And then they started opening restaurants. Yeah. Then the restaurants pushed. restaurants pushed the retail out.
It was the record stores and the clothing stores.
Right.
When I was going there as a young man, it was record stores and clothing stores.
There were like
had resale shops and, you know, Salvation Army places.
There were like five record stores at the peak in the 90s.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then they turned the movie theater, the Royal Oak Theater, into like a concert venue.
Yes, yeah.
Then they turned it into like a dance party thing and it got out of control and the cops had to shut it down. So it's like been through this life cycle where they'll attract some business, then some other business will come in and push out what was there to begin with.
Yeah.
And now they're in this thing where they want to go into these big, they want to make it into a big downtown corporate city structure, which is not, which is more than it is. And I think this is happening in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I know we're off on a non-funny
tangent.
All right,
let's get back to the humor.
Yes.
All
right.
I'll cut that all out of the show.
There you go.
Probably not. Let's get into World Cup's about to start, Corey. Give us the rundown. But people have already seen this, so maybe we shouldn't do a World Cup.
Well,
World Cup to this point in your eyes, forget about who's going to win the semis.
It's been an excellent World Cup.
In what way?
As
someone whose extent is watching. Is watching the PKs in the England game. That's all I've seen.
Okay. Well, the match other than that game, there's been a couple penalty shootouts, but they've been exciting. The games have been largely competitive and exciting. A lot of 3-2 games, 4-3, which you know in soccer is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think there were only a couple. 1-0, 1-0.
Yeah.
Well,
it seemed like the round of eight was a lot of overtime, extra time shootouts.
There were some of those, yeah. But all of the big name, all the teams I hate.
Yeah.
This is the craziest World Cup.
Yeah.
In that I'm okay with anybody winning it at this point
because Brazil's out and Germany's out.
All the teams that I normally
Italy's out.
Yeah, Italy didn't even make it.
Oh, Italy did Italy even make? They didn't make
the
World Cup.
Netherlands, Italy, and the United States didn't even make it.
Oh wow.
So. And then a bunch of teams that were like Saudi Arabia and Egypt sucked and were fraud. Like all the Middle Eastern teams ate a big bowl of crap. But Spain got knocked out, Brazil. So it's been kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Japan almost knocked Belgium out until Belgium scored in literally the last second.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a fun World Cup overall. And maybe with the U.S. being out of it, I haven't had to sweat every game.
Yeah.
Like, with the U.S., it's the tension's too great.
I think everybody's rooting for England, though. Isn't that the idea?
A lot of people hate England. I root for England.
Yeah, I do, too. But because if you're going to follow soccer that's not international, you're probably going to follow Premier League.
Right.
And
so you know
even though the Premier League guys aren't all English guys, the teams are from England.
But
so.
you know the players. Although this England team has a little, it's a younger team.
Yeah.
And normally the English play it's all like a superstar team.
Yes.
The last couple World Cups.
It's been Beckham and Rooney.
It's been the big names that you all know. All this Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard and all these superstars in the EPL. And they played tight because they know that the savages at the Daily Mail and the Sun and these tabloids are going to eat their hearts. Well, now England's in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And they're losing their shit. They don't know what the... it's going to be... I would love to be... I wouldn't, but if I could have a safe location to watch the mayhem from in London, you know, because it's going to be nuts if they make the final.
I know that England, not only, as people have already heard this, people know if they're in the finals or not, because by the time people have heard this, but, you know, I know that even the semi is England is shutting down.
Oh, it's
going to
be nuts.
It's going to be completely shut down, and they're going to have those screens in every public square for people to watch the game because, you know, in every pub is
overtime for all the bobbies.
Full and stuff. I mean, at least their games are going to be... Actually, I believe the World Cup final is an afternoon game in Europe, but it'll be in the morning here.
Here's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
It's competing against Wimbledon.
Oh God!
For the first time ever.
Oh, is it really?
The World Cup final
is going to be
at the same time as the men's final in Wimbledon,
right.
And Wimbledon's being they're we start at 2 p.m. so we're not changing on time.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, move the fucking time.
Yeah, well, I know.
Like, start at 1 o'clock, because nobody's, because it's going to, for the first time ever, Wimbledon got pushed to BBC Two.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a big...
And I know, and not the, again, not that this is that big a deal, but Progress Wrestling, which is one of the big indie groups.
Oh.
Well, they booked a show for Sunday, which is the World Cup final, and they go, look, if England's in it, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna run half the card before the game. Yeah. Then we're going to take an intermission. We're going to watch the whole World Cup final. And then we're going to do the last four matches at the end of the game. So if you got a ticket to that show, you're actually going to just take a break and watch wrestling in the watch World Cup in the middle of it, which sounds insane.
If England's in the World Cup final, the entire nation of England, the entire UK will be shut down.
Right.
Because the rest of the UK will be watching to hate watch England.
Can I do a real quick couple things on wrestling real quick before we get into movies and that?
Yes.
And then I know. So there was a show from this weekend that Access TV ran. It was New Japan in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. It was called G1 Special in San Francisco. You know, a year ago they did them in Long Beach, and I was there.
By the way,
but
before we get too into this, let's think about our topics today.
I know we're gonna get
who
into
who can follow this show
coming up. Glow coming up. Ant-Man and the Wasp reviewed, and a bunch of true crime stuff from Netflix that you guys care about.
Who is this show?
I want to tell you why you should watch this G1 special in San Francisco, because a couple things happened that were kind of nuts on this. One was a wrestler broke his neck.
Okay,
which is Hiromu Takahashi, who, if you were going to say, you know, last week, hey, a wrestler's going to break his neck, who would it be? And you would go, oh, Hiromu Takahashi, he's the craziest guy in wrestling. And he did. He took a really bad suplex and kind of landed and skidded on his neck, did another 2 minutes of the match, and actually pinned his opponent, Dragon Lee. So that was really scary, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, are these wrestling matches too dangerous? Because if you've never seen Hiromu Takahashi and Dragon Lee wrestle, it's absolutely insane. So you could go find a GIF of that. But another thing happened. There was a match. The semifinal match was Juice Robinson against Jay White. Now, Juice Robinson's from Wisconsin. Jay White's from New Zealand originally. He was trained in England, so it's, you know, two Western guys in the semifinal of this New Japan Wrestling show. So Jim Ross is the color commentator for Access TV. He does the New Japan shows on Access. Okay, and his broadcast partner is Josh Barnett, who has done pro wrestling, but he's best known as a UFC MMA fighter. He was the UFC heavyweight champion in the past. So they're doing commentary, and I guess they didn't set up the ring barricades well, because guys would go crashing through them, and they weren't attached, and it was really dangerous looking. Well, they were brawling outside, and Jay White picked up Juice Robinson and suplexed him into the railing. The railing went flying into the commentary table where old Jim Ross and his crooked face were sitting there.
Oh, my God!
Oh, sorry. Well, it would have been, oh, my God, and he would have said that about the suplex if the railing didn't crash into the table, which crashed into Jim Ross, which knocked Jim Ross about 10 feet back in his chair and onto his ass.
Yeah.
Now, then Josh Barnett, who's on the headset, goes, oh, you done fucked up now, gets out of the commentary table, walks over the barricade, confronts Jay White at ringside, jumps into the ring in his suit, and is like, let's fucking go right now. And people are watching this going, oh, what a cool angle to set up. Josh Barnett.
It
was not a fucking angle. Jim Ross ended up going to the hospital the next day, might have broke his rib, had to cancel a bunch of appearances. Wow. There's a lot of talk about, are they going to fire Josh Barnett over this? I think what's probably most likely to happen is they're probably going to end up doing a match between Jay White and Josh Barnett, which would be, you know, a money match at this point. But, you know, if I'm Jay White, I don't want to fucking do a wrestling match against this former UFC heavyweight champion because he got my ass kicked. But it was crazy because I'm watching this going, boy, this fucking looks real. And then I listened to, you know, the Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer on it. And he goes, well, you know, Access has it on their Twitter, so it's probably a work. They're setting up a match between Jay White and Josh Barnett. Mm. And then 2 days later, you know, the Monday show, Dave Meltzer goes, well, I talked to everybody and yeah, that was real. And it was like, holy fucking shit. It was just crazy. You just don't see stuff like that in wrestling all that much. And I mean, I think there's a valid point to those guys should have been a little more careful at ringside. And, you know.
Yeah, but guys are getting. I think more guys are getting hurt these days due to the nature of the way they do spots.
Yeah, it's definitely crazier than it's ever been. And, you know, there's a guy, you know, Hanma got broke his neck in a wrestling match recently. And then...
I mean, you would always get guys that had freak injuries, like Rick Rude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Broke his back
broke
and stuff.
Broke his back, yeah, yeah.
You'd get guys that got hurt. I mean, yeah. You can't claim it's freak injuries when people are...
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
400-pound guys are... falling right. on top of each other and throwing each other around.
Takahashi, who broke his neck, is probably only 160 or something because he's a little tiny guy. But...
Yeah, well, and those guys get hurt more often, though, too, because their bodies are...
They go flying, yeah.
Their bodies are not built to withstand...
Yeah, yeah.
The
But that, anyway. Show, that show was fantastic. If you get a chance, it's a 4.5-hour show, but the whole thing was great. And main event was Kenny Omega and Cody... And it was really good. So check that show out.
Okay.
No, it was great. It was one of the best wrestling shows I think you'll ever see. So
all right.
I almost traveled to that because I knew it was going to be good, but I did not. So anyway. So all right, we're going to get into some streaming stuff here. Now, do you want to go? You told me this before we started the show. Before we talk about Netflix, because I think all the stuff we watched this week was on Netflix. Corey has a problem with digital media, DLC. I'm assuming you have a problem. I don't know what your beef is, but before we get into that, before we get into the Netflix stuff, why don't you tell us what your beef is?
Well, look.
Okay.
Oh, so Joel, if we hadn't alienated everybody, we might have listened to this show.
I know. Stop putting our audience down.
Inside baseball talk.
They
about,
might have.
What are we talking about today? The gathering of the Juggalos, Royal Oak parking problems.
We did.
Amsterdam.
Yes.
What else? That was
World Cup.
let me fractionally splinter off who anyone who might still be enduring this program with a little rant about digital media and why
digital media, Corey Hall.
Well,
I think you're about to talk about how much you love digital media and how it's changed all of our lives and made everything accessible to everybody. Correct?
Has it though? Okay. Now, increasingly, I run into people that are like, why don't I cut cable? I don't have cable, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I stream everything.
Hey, man, I don't own a TV. Is it that same shit? Well,
those people can eat. Those people can eat glass. We had those people in the
80s. Yes, exactly.
I mean, you know, or the 70s.
But now, even. Like, cord cutters are those kind of guys, though, now. Sure. Yeah, we're like, we're cord cutters, man.
Well, look, television in the 70s, you could have cut the color. You could have not had a TV and been just fine. But what this is the problem about the digital revolution and the streaming, and everybody thinks we live in this magic future where everything's accessible at all times.
Yeah.
Except it isn't.
Yeah, it isn't.
And here's an example on a very micro level that only appeals to me and like a couple thousand other guys. There is a arcade. There's a game. It's on a it's a multi-platform game.
Okay.
It's available on PC, on Steam. It's on consoles, on PlayStation and Xbox.
What's the name of that?
Called
game?
The Pinball Arcade.
Pinball Arcade.
Okay.
I believe I have some version of Pinball Arcade installed on my PlayStation.
So
4.
Pinball Arcade is a pinball emulator.
Yes.
Now there are several. There's Pinball FX and whatever.
Yes, I think I have that one as well.
But this one is from Farsight Studios and has been the major in the pinball community.
Yes.
And I am a pinball enthusiast.
Okay, so I think I see where you're going. Let me keep you on track here.
Yeah.
I'm guessing one of the companies is no longer licensing their tables to them. I don't know if it's Bally Midway or...
It's Bally and Midway.
Bally and Midway. Is that two companies or one?
I think they're licensed together.
Okay,
I think, whatever.
And Williams is its own company or something? Or
No, I'm sorry. Williams and Bally.
Okay.
Williams and Bally. Midway, I don't know.
I don't know either.
If that's part of the... Anyway. But, so those were the heart of the pinball arcade. Uh-huh. Most of the great video of the pinball had a golden era from the late 80s to the 2000s, uh-huh. in which all of the really classic great tables that everybody loves, like, you know, Adam's Family and Medieval Madness and Attack from Mars...
Uh-huh.
All these pinball machines that are still very hot and popular, like the top-selling pinball games, all came out from Bally and Midway and Williams, who were all in Chicago for some reason. Anyway, though they pulled the licenses.
Okay.
So that's like, of the 95 tables available on the pinball arcade, that's like 60 of them.
Yeah.
So you're basically, if you bought a copy of the game or the table, whatever, you still have it.
So you have this stuff in perpetuity, but you can no longer purchase these
things. And you can't, and then they're not going to update it. So it's basically going to kill the game.
It's abandonware, essentially, meaning they're abandoning support for it.
But this happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
In this whole, and it happens a lot in video games. But this is why I still buy Blu-rays and physical media copies.
Sure, yeah.
Because you cannot trust that you're going to have stuff in print or it's going to be on service.
Right. Yeah.
And now they're going to fraction the services off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a latest example of an annoying. Now, I had bought a lot of those tables, but not all of them. I was like still going to get the Elvira one, and you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're only like $5 or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you buy packs of them, but there were some of them I hadn't gotten, and now they're gone.
Yeah, and what happens too with this stuff is that, and I think this is where you're at, is that when they go from generation to generation,
and then they stop,
they
servicing.
Have a hard time getting the stuff. Like, because I know, like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, all that stuff that was the previous generation. Some of it came over; they had the rights to some of it, and then some of it didn't.
Right.
And I'm playing with my real guitar. I'm playing Rocksmith now, which is, you know, a similar thing. Even though you're playing an actual guitar in the real notes, some of the stuff from the previous generation did make it over. You can buy DLC. But sometimes that DLC goes in and out of print, and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Another thing, my Blu-ray player, I have two Blu-ray players.
Okay.
And the one in the living room is, like, the wired one.
Yeah.
Well, I get a message that's like, they're not going to they're not going to update Hulu anymore.
Yeah, your apps will not be supported, and there'll be a point when those no longer work.
And so
do they still work, though?
Well, it just gave me notice that Hulu is not going to be supported anymore.
Does that mean you can't use Hulu on that television anymore?
On that Blu-ray, I have to run it off the Xbox.
Okay,
but it's this whole thing with, like, the thing about a Blu-ray is you put the disc in and it fucking works.
Right, yeah.
Or a VCR still works after 35 years.
Yeah.
This whole digital media revolution, it's fraught with issues of copyright and software and firmware and updates. And as an increasingly older man, it annoys me.
Well, look, it's you know, being able to take a piece of electronics from even 10 years ago and use it today, like something that connects to the internet and to a television, is really, really difficult. You know, you can't really connect, like, say, a video game console pre-Xbox 360 PS3. Most of those will not connect even to a modern television.
But now there's guys that are building, like, mods.
Oh, yeah. You have to go
into
artisanal cables and
HDMI adapters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Although I saw a video of a guy that did it for the GameCube.
Yes.
And the HDMI cable froze his GameCube.
Yep. That can happen, too.
So, you know. They're,
well, I mean, and also go on eBay and price an HDMI modded GameCube, and they're probably several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, you know, guys are acquiring GameCubes for $50.
Right.
And then they're doing this HDMI mod, which is, you know, some Chinese circuit board that they're soldering in there. And then they're charging you an arm and a leg for it. But if you're a guy that owns GameCube, you know, stuff, GameCube games, and you want to play those, you can play GameCube stuff on Wii, but even the Wii, I think Wii has Wii does not have HDMI, I don't believe. So
no,
even Wii does not have
HDMI. But
then
guys build boxes that run it. And,
I know. So it's like, you know, at some point, you know, not only, you know, you're paying money for the stuff that you've already purchased, you know, because the technology hasn't kept up. And when we talk about streaming apps, and look, and as a guy who, in this very studio where you're talking about, I could stream Netflix about 6 different ways, I think.
Right.
In this one room of my house alone, okay? But here's what I found.
And then the screens are different?
No. Here's what I found, though. In order to alleviate a lot of this, and again, there'll be a day when I won't be able to do this, but the actual television has become the de facto platform in the sense that
it's the best way to stream.
Because the TV people will support those longer, I think, in theory, because they realize that a television's not a thing that you're going to replace every 2 years. You're probably going 5 to 10 years with the TV at this point.
So Sony's more likely to run
Sony. I mean, I have Samsung, and those are all the apps I use. And I have a Chromecast Ultra that's 4K. And there are things like the New Japan streaming service, which don't have an app on the Samsung. So I go for that. My PC is hooked up to my 4K television. I can play anything off of the PC. But again, I come back for the convenience factor and everything.
Yeah.
I go to the television. In the event I can't stream something off the television, then I'll go to Chromecast. If I have to go to an app on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, I can do that as well. But yeah, I mean, I've got thousands of dollars worth of shit to do a thing that really should be able to be done very simply. And in order to do all of that, I've had to build this monstrosity of a system. And that's beyond the pull of most people. And so a lot of people...
You spend more money on tech than,
than the average person. But
most people.
A lot of people just want, hey, give me Netflix and I'm good.
Right.
And that's why when you go, okay, you got to get Hulu. And a lot of people go, well, I just want the Netflix. I just want the one button. You know, my TV, your TV may have a remote that has a Netflix button on the remote, and then you're in Netflix, and that's all you got to do.
But guess what? Now they're going to be, you're going to need, if you're cutting the cable, you need all the other services.
Well, and that's the problem, too, because of the content deals.
And then the content will get fractured even more. Then you got to get CBS All Access. You get all this other garbage.
I'm sure people have done articles about what is the difference between having a top-tier cable package and trying to get all that stuff through streaming services, which I believe everything now is available through streaming services. You know, Amazon has a good... Amazon is a good platform for that stuff because, you know, Amazon has HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, Stars, and all that stuff right in Amazon Video now. Now, it's extra money, but if you have Amazon Prime and you want to get HBO... You can get all of that now through the Amazon app, which, you know, I guess that's the convenience of that. But, you know, Amazon Prime is still the number two or number three streaming service, and Netflix is eating everyone's lunch in that.
But there is good stuff on. Well, now we've done.
All right, well, let's get into the streaming stuff. Let's get
anything we can to alienate the rest of the audience. It's hard. It's just, it's increasingly, that's what I'm just saying.
It's gotten difficult.
My little pinball game
is
inconsequential to most people.
Well, but what's going to happen is when Disney pulls all their shit from Netflix, which is happening, we know that's happening. There's a hard date for that. I mean, if you want to watch a Marvel movie from the last 2 years, they're all on Netflix.
Right.
After that, they go to FX. So when my girlfriend, we're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, she hadn't seen original Ant-Man. And I go, well, Netflix has all those. Well, Netflix does have Marvel stuff, but only going back so far. So if you want Thor Ragnarok, you want...
You got that, but if you,
you
want
Doctor
Iron
Strange,
Man,
it's on there.
If you want Iron Man, you got
to rent it. So we had to rent from Amazon, rent the original Ant-Man.
We took my parents to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, did you?
And I guess we'll review that. But
We'll review
it
later.
Just my mom goes at the end of it. She's like, now, which one was the Wasp?
Exactly. All right, let's get into Netflix stuff first, because Glow Season 2 is out. Glow, one of the biggest shows on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's out. I think I've got three left of the current season. And I liked Glow. We both liked Glow Season 1. It was one of the highest rated shows of the year. My girlfriend hadn't seen it. I suggested that it be something she watched because Season 2 was coming on. So she watched Season 1 just recently and really enjoyed it. She was fired up for Season 2. But I think if I had a complaint about Season 1 is that I didn't laugh out loud a lot, even though I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was charming. Thought it was well done. It was about wrestling. I actually watched the original Glow in its heyday. Boy, Season 2 has all of those problems, you know, multiplied by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, like most sequels or, you know, sequel movies or Season 2 of seasons, you have this triumphant... Mm-hmm. Season finale where everybody finally gets it together and they win.
Mm-hmm.
And then Season 2 opens where all of the success that they had at Season 1 is wiped out.
Yes.
All the characters that were getting on harmoniously now have to yell at each other and argue. And that's exactly what happens in Season 2 of Glow, where you have to tear down everything you built up in the original.
Did you not earlier in this episode say if it's got women involved, take out half the punchlines?
That's exactly
what it is.
Well, look, I
agree with you. Glow is it, and I think I've watched the first two.
Yeah, maybe, right. Okay, yeah.
Of the new season. And you know what? Glow is a show that I kind of enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's got a good setting.
Yeah.
I like the actors.
Yeah.
but it's not funny.
It's not laugh out loud funny to me. And it's been weird because as you go along, I want to say like episode four was had tons of really funny stuff in it. And then episode five, you wouldn't know. I believe it was episode five. You wouldn't know that this show is a comedy if you watch episode. If you've never seen Glow and you watch episode five, you go, oh, this is a really dark drama about wrestling, ladies wrestling in the 80s. It's really tonally all over the place.
That's not a theme for dark, moody shit.
It's weird.
At
least the first season felt consistent in its tone. Mm-hmm. This one seems like it's all over the place. And if you want to give it a thumbnail review, and I think we can both agree, and it's something I said about Orange is the New Black, it's for girls. And I know that's I could sound like a sexist asshole for saying it's for girls, but it's for girls.
Can and will.
But
you know what, though? But that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that when you say something is not for me,
yeah,
then immediately the criticism is, well, then you're making it less important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because presumably if a white man in his 40s likes it,
yeah,
then it's better than other things.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Well, it's
Nanette, which you haven't watched yet.
I'm not. I got no fucking plans unless you're going to make me watch it.
No. I'm just
saying, review the fucking thing here.
But somebody asked me about it the other night and I went, well, it wasn't for me.
I mean, I should.
It's not going to be for me.
I should know Nanette because it's important in comedy, and I'm in the business of comedy, so I should at least know what that is. I tell people, and I've said it on this show, I don't watch comedy specials because they're not fucking real, and it's not what we do. Isn't comedy specials?
I watch a few comedy specials, but
I should watch. I should watch. Yes.
Well, comics will also be like, "Did you see? Did you see this special and Neil Brennan special?" I'm like, no, I don't watch every comedy special.
But Glow to me, I guess my criticism of it isn't so much that it's for girls, because I did enjoy season one and it was enjoyable. I think that the tone of the show is all over the place. I think that there is a lack of consistency in the characters, in how they behave. It's sort of like when The Simpsons sort of jumped the shark in a way. That was the thing, in that Homer, they just made Homer super stupid, and you know what I mean?
Although I read an article,
the consistency of those characters made sense anymore, and I feel like even with season two, Glow is starting to lose its mojo.
Marin's character started becoming more of a jerk in season two.
Yeah, okay.
He's just, at least what I've seen so far, is he went from being...
Depends what episode you watch.
Right.
Because some episodes he's the greatest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were kind of just in manufacturing antagonism from him.
Right.
In a way that in the first one, it didn't quite fit his character.
Right.
So whatever. It's hard to maintain quality on shows. I did read an article speaking of The Simpsons.
Well, can I just do one quick Glow thing and then we'll get off Glow?
Sure.
Betty Gilpin gets naked.
Oh, well... All right.
It's about time. I mean, come on.
All right. Well,
she was one we were waiting for.
Alison Brie got naked beginning of season one.
And I don't think we've seen Alison Brie naked, and Kate Nash got naked in season one as well.
So it's like a deal where they're like, all right, you take it off this month.
You pick the one. But, I mean, she's probably the one you probably wanted to see naked the most anyway, I guess, in some levels. So,
well, Betty Gilpin. I'm sure I'll get to that.
Betty Gilpin takes him off. All right. Tell us about The Simpsons.
I read an article from, like, Slate, which generally... That's generally where the trouble's going to be. but because...
Slate. Is it fixing, identifying, or causing America's problems? Well, which one are they up to?
That's the thing. Is it like Vox and Slate and all these...
Creating controversy where there is none.
Well, there will... For every insightful or interesting or politically engaged article that's good, there'll be three that are like... You know, people who like egg white omelets are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And it's just like something that's not an issue.
Well, they've succumbed to, instead of being a news outlet, they're becoming clickbaity in a way that you expect from BuzzFeed and Forbes and shit like that.
But it's everybody. There was Steve Ditko, who was the artist for Spider-Man.
Okay.
The co-creator was Stan Lee.
Yes.
Right? And Doctor Strange.
Yes.
A legend. He just died. He was 90.
Uh-huh.
There was an article that was like, forget about Kirby crackles. Let's talk about Ditko dots.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why do we have to kick Jack Kirby to praise Steve Ditko?
Yeah.
It's in the headline. And it's like, that's just how things are written. So anyway, this girl on Slate was like, I find The Simpsons alienating and I tried to like it. And and like someone even made a curated list for her with like, here's the monorail episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Like picked like 15.
The definitive ones to watch.
Picked like 15 episodes for her to watch. And she's like, I don't understand how Homer, you know, people, what's the humor in him? He's a boorish fool that makes life hard for everybody. Mm, no. And I was like, you unbelievable Harridan. You joyless fucking harpy.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm earnest and good and hardworking. And why do people think it's funny that Homer's an idiot? And I'm like, you've lost the fucking ability to understand satire.
Well, it's been on for 28 years, and you can't distill that into watch this moment and that moment and understand what that is. But also, you know, The Simpsons... through, you know, I mean, I think the question, and this goes back to the fucking Apu idiot, is The Simpsons, you know, is The Simpsons made for the early 90s? Is it going to be stuck there? Or is it going to be saying, hey, The Simpsons we make now are made for the modern audience? Or is it like, we're going to make stuff like it's targeted to these same people that were in their teens and early 20s? In the 90s, which is
and,
us.
And look, the debate about the quality of The Simpsons and when The Simpsons died, and I think The Simpsons is actually better than it was at its, you know, low point. If you watch an episode now,
right.
You'll get a couple laughs
out
of it.
Yeah. I mean,
but
The Simpsons is, you know, taking the name off of it, it is an intrinsically high-quality television product. But will it ever be what it was in 1991 to people? No. And it's not.
Nothingness.
So, yeah,
Nothing lasts forever. But that's a different argument. That's a different argument altogether. Yes, right. From is this funny?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people that are like, don't understand Monty Python's Flying Circus.
No.
But to look at it now and not have any historical perspective about what it was or why it was funny, that amazes me how off the mark people are.
Well, you know, it's again, professional wrestling can explain the entire world. And the way that people describe...
Can it?
Well, we've said that. That's a premise that we've talked about many times. Okay. People talk about old wrestling. They watch an old wrestling match and go, boy, that doesn't hold up. And you're like, that's not the point of it. The point of any art when it's created is just... if you're making a piece of entertainment, the goal of that piece of entertainment is to entertain those people right then and there at that moment. Mm-hmm. If it holds up or not, yeah, you can say something holds up or it doesn't hold up, but it doesn't make it bad because it doesn't entertain you 30 years later.
Well, meanwhile, the guys who
grew up... that's a good way to look at old wrestling.
Meanwhile, a lot of the guys who grew up on, you know, Mid-South or AWA Memphis or any of that kind of old school territory wrestling...
Right.
Favor that over the new stuff,
but
because they understand it
because Ring of Honor and New Japan isn't made for, it's made for people to enjoy now, and it's not made with a 30 or 40 year old sensibility. But anyway, all right, let's get into some other streaming Netflix stuff. You saw, and this has been out for a while, but and Tom was kind of beating you over the head to watch some true crime. So I don't know how much crime this is, but I guess there's some in it. Wild, Wild Country on Netflix. You've seen a little bit of that.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's from the Duplass brothers, who apparently have infinite time and ability to produce all kinds.
They produced Evil Genius, which we talked about.
They produce 8 million movies and shows every month. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're the executive producers. And this is... now I haven't gotten all the way through it.
Sure, yeah.
I never can watch... these people are like, did you watch all 12 episodes?
I know.
That's
the most annoying thing
ever. Second it dropped.
Yeah,
did you? No, I didn't.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? One, I'm not like that in terms of wanting to watch all of something.
Yes.
I will watch one and go, I'll come back to that in a couple weeks or a couple days or whatever.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm like Mr., you know, art, but I like to watch something and then... if it's good, take some time to digest it. Think about what would maybe be happening in the next story. Are there questions that I want answered? Is there, you know, and when you're just, when things are running back to back to back to back, you can't even do that. So you watch some of Wild Wild Country, but it's enough to give it a fair review.
I'll tell you about Wild Wild Country. At first, I was like, this is the most snoring.
It's about a cult.
It's about it's about a guru named Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, who had an ashram in India in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And he then decided to, I think he was probably getting some heat from the Indian government, decided to uproot and go to America. Mm-hmm. And he brought his cult with him. And this is in the time of cults.
The 70s was a good time to be a Svengali. Yes.
So like in the late, early 80s, like 80, 81, he moves to Portland, or outside of Portland, in Wasco County, Oregon, mm-hmm. in the, on the country, and they built a compound, mm-hmm. and it's and this was when they're like this kind of, I don't want to get too into it, but they're like a, they all dressed in red, and they're like very about cleansing through screaming and expression, uh-huh. and their open sexual policy about sexual expression is what this guy was about.
Yeah.
Well, they move into this town in Oregon, and it's called Antelope, and it's this town of like 500 people,
mm-hmm.
and or less than that, like
yeah, a
couple hundred people, and they went to war with the town.
Yeah.
And so the first one, it was a snooze fest, and then it starts getting really compelling.
Okay.
So that I would recommend checking that out, as the old school Christians in the town do not want these Hindu.
Right.
And then it just
the
gets...
The crazy Christian people don't like the Christian Indian cultists. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it gets pretty compelling, and I would definitely recommend checking
all right.
out.
All right. Wild Walk. I haven't seen that yet, but again, keeping on that theme... Evil Genius is awesome. That's on there. I'm going to talk about The Staircase now because that is on Netflix. Now, originally, Staircase was on IFC years and years ago. And in fact, if you watch, really, if you watch The Staircase on Netflix, it's 13 episodes. The first eight are sort of the original season of that. The original, it was a film. It was made by a French company, a French production company, but it was this... Eight episodes became the first season. They did an update, which I believe was only two episodes, and then Netflix made another three today. Basically, it's the story of a man who's on trial for murdering his wife, who was found at the bottom of the stairs, completely bloody. The authorities believe she was bludgeoned to death.
Mm.
And this guy, this Michael Peterson fella, was a well-known newspaper columnist. He had written... a lot of books about his experiences in the Vietnam War as a Marine. So he was a well-known, wealthy, you know, well-to-do guy in the community. And they started looking into his past and finding some things in his past that were definitely shady. And they put him on trial, and it is the story of that trial. And then, of course, the further episodes you go in, it starts in 2002. So, in fact, if you watch those original eight episodes, you know, the first eight episodes on Netflix, they're not even HD. It's like it just wasn't even. It was before then.
Right.
But as it goes on, it's one of those crime stories that is so, you know, it is probably more than any of these. And you know, you watch The Jinx, you know, Robert Durst did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making a murderer. They try to make you think that guy didn't do it, but it seems like that guy really did. Which, actually, Making a Murderer is interesting because it's actually two crimes. One, he was wrongly convicted, and then one, he seems like he was rightly convicted. But anyway, you know, the West Memphis 3 stuff, you know, all of that. Again, they're advocating for the innocence of this guy, these kids. I think they were guilty. But on this one, this movie does not take any side.
Yeah.
And as a viewer, and I know because my girlfriend watched all 13, they're like, I don't know if this guy did it. And it's one of those where you literally can make an argument that he absolutely had to have committed this murder. And you could make an argument completely soundly and rationally. There's no fucking way this guy did this. It was an accident. And... It's really one of those stories that is just incredible in the fact of, did he do it? Didn't he do it? And when they get into his family and sort of the background there, it really is like a, it's like a true life soap opera. 13 episodes is a lot. It's a lot of episodes. Me and my girlfriend watched that over the course of, I don't know, six nights or something. So five, six nights. But if you like true crime stuff, to me, The Staircase, just from the basis of the crime here, because Evil Genius is like, this is this incredibly crazy thing. You don't really have a doubt about what happened by the end of it. I think they pretty well explain it, and yeah, you go, okay, these people did it. This one is still, you can watch all 13 episodes and still be like, I still don't fucking know what happened, and was the justice that was handed out just? Was it not? It's really interesting ethically. There's a ton of, you know, law stuff, legal stuff that is, you know, should you take a plea? Should you not? It's really amazing.
All right.
And it's well done. The Staircase.
Is this for girls as well?
You know, you could argue all true crime stuff is for girls. Well,
yes.
A guy murdered his wife. So right away, that's for girls, right? Because isn't that what they, you know, isn't every yes. woman's fear of being murdered by their husband or something?
Which is, so, I think, go. Why I'm not in the audience for true crime most of the time.
The staircase is pretty great. It's really, really well done. Is it long? Absolutely. It's, you know, 13, 45-minute episodes, but I enjoyed it. Another quick thing on Netflix before we get to Ant-Man is Darren Brown's Miracles. Darren Brown is a magician from England who does a lot of, like, psychological type stuff. We talked about The Push, which, now, all of these episodes, all of his specials have been on Channel 4 in the UK. This is the first American distribution for him. So The Push was on, where he convinced these people to commit murder, I think was really one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And his new show that's on there, which again had aired in the UK a few years ago, is called Miracles, where he does, it's a stage show, so it takes place in a theater. But he shows people how faith healers work. And in part of not just exposing faith healers, he actually heals people. For real.
All right.
In this show. In a stage show, in a theater in London. It's pretty crazy. It was really, really well done. Darren Brown's pretty amazing. So if you like magic, if you think you're a fan of that, you think you might enjoy something a little different. It's not stand-up.
Yeah.
But he does some really cool stuff. He does a thing about he teaches a woman how to eat glass. He takes a volunteer from the audience on stage.
Really?
Convinces her to eat glass.
Now, that's one thing I've never... The sword swallowing and the glass eating, I've never...
Well...
known how it's done, really?
If you watch Miracles, he will show you how it's done, and a woman from the audience actually eats glass. It's crazy. Darren Brown, and I know, and look, I'm not a magician. I wouldn't ever make that claim. But boy, I've read a lot of magic. I've studied a lot of magic. There's things that I know how to do that I can do. I'm not going to try to attempt to do them for an audience. But Darren Brown is really one of the best guys around today, and I really dig his stuff. And he's going to do a bunch of new stuff for Netflix, but watch Miracles. It's really, really good. All right. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Corey, we've both seen it.
Yes.
The next chapter, I believe it's the 20th Marvel movie.
Something like that.
And we both like the original Ant-Man. I remember reviewing it on this show. And Ant-Man, one of the funnier Marvel movies, I think, one of the funnier sort of entrants in that, and they carry it on. I think they did a good job with the humor. I think they carry that on. I think it was consistent in its tone with the original. I think if you like the first Ant-Man, you'll like this Ant-Man. I don't think you would say that Ant-Man and the Wasp is in any way better than Ant-Man, but usually the origin story is better, as good.
Would you think
the origin story is usually better than the follow-up?
I would think, though, if you hadn't seen Ant-Man, this would get you completely lost.
Well, yeah, I think that's a criticism of it, sure.
I don't think you can I don't think you can jump into it.
That's why I told my girlfriend we got to watch original Ant-Man, and we ended up renting it for $4.
Sometimes with the Marvel movies, you go, you can probably skip the other ones.
I saw Thor 3... without seeing the other Thors, and I was okay. I mean, granted, Thor had been in Avengers and that to this point, but...
Yeah.
But see, Ant-Man had really only been in Captain America Civil War and the original Ant-Man, so there wasn't a lot of
this
Ant-Man.
Really tied directly into the original Ant-Man.
It did,
I feel like you needed to know the
story. Yes, yes. Because, I mean, part of it, like, the opening to Ant-Man and the Wasp is, like, something that was discussed in the... I don't want to... Spoilers, but it was a thing that you never saw in the original Ant-Man, but was discussed, and then that's the opening of the movie, so...
How do you feel about the CGI youthening that goes on in this?
Well, look, they've been doing this for a long time. I remember we reviewed a movie called Sex Tape. I think I had only seen it, not you. Yeah. But that was Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz, and they showed them, like, in college, and they had made them younger looking, and it was the creepiest, stupidest thing I've ever seen. I think it was fine. I think one of the problems I had with it... Okay, look, I think Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer's in this.
Michelle Pfeiffer's easier to make younger.
Right. I think the one that I had...
She's pretty.
Well, Lawrence Fishburne, though, I feel like Lawrence Fishburne didn't look like that when... Well, basically, Lawrence Fishburne was a skinny guy for a long time. As he got older, he got fatter.
Well, they did.
So what they did is they made him young, but not skinny.
They didn't make
him... They kept him fat, but young.
Right.
He never was.
Well, they should have made him look like he did in The Matrix.
Okay, yeah. That would have been...
Right,
well,
like 20 years ago.
If you want to go way back, you go back to Apocalypse Now.
Well,
but
they
didn't need
silly,
him to, yeah.
Because
if you see him in Apocalypse Now, he's kind of unrecognizable to the current...
But they could have shaved 20 years off of him and made him look like he did in The Matrix, but it was weird.
Well, you know the Captain Marvel thing, right? Did you see that headline this week?
Oh, they're going to de-age Jude Law?
No. Samuel L. Jackson
is
only going to be de-aged. He will not be his current day Samuel Jackson in that. So they are de-aging Samuel L. Jackson in the movie.
I don't know how much he's in
which is weird because Samuel L. Jackson kind of wasn't even famous. I mean, he was what? What Spike Lee stuff was he?
20 years ago.
He was in Do the Right Thing. I mean, Jurassic Park he's in.
Yeah.
He was
a name back then.
But I mean.
Glory.
Yeah, okay. So that could be really weird. I mean, granted, the technology's gotten better.
Yes, but they did it in the first Ant-Man with Michael Douglas, and there's not a lot of it
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that can sustain a full movie.
Because then you're just watching the Uncanny Valley. You're watching like...
Yeah.
You're watching like Polar Express.
Why not just cast a guy, sort of like the X-Men movies, why not just cast a young guy to be... Right. What's the name of his character?
If you know, Kirk Douglas had been Hank Pym, then he could have had yeah. Michael Douglas play Hank Pym 30 years ago.
But
you can't do that now. Anyway, the best is Jake Busey.
He played Gary?
Yeah, in The Frighteners. He was like
I didn't know that.
Like, okay. Looks exactly like Gary.
He does look exactly like Gary. Yeah.
But anyway, I liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. Those technical issues. There was not a lot of flashbacks. In fact, I thought we were going to get more Lawrence Fishburne flashbacks.
Because
they set up his character, but then don't really tell you a lot about it.
Right.
Well,
it's well done. It's fun in a way.
It's really jokey though.
It's a comedy. I mean, this is a comedy.
What's the guy's name?
Movie.
Is it BD, the guy from the ABC show BD? Is it?
Michael Pena.
Michael Pena is all comedy.
Michael, there might be too much Michael Pena in this. No, the guy you're thinking of is what's his name?
He plays FBI agent...
Randall Park.
He plays FBI agent Jimmy Woo.
Randall Park of the 5-Year Engagement.
Yes. Okay. His bit is funny.
Every guy that was in that movie that nobody saw that I was in, I will continue to credit.
Maybe the one problem with Ant-Man and the Wasp is that there really isn't a threat.
Well, Walton Goggins is in there as...
He's the most villainous of the characters. Human,
and Walton Goggins is great, but it's not like... This is better than Walter Goggins in Vice Principals or something because it's not even on that level.
No.
But again, Walton Goggins is good.
It lacked a bit of a villainous threat.
Well, the ghost...
Because Walton Goggins a bad guy, but you're never really like...
I mean, look...
Thinking he's going to get over on Ant-Man.
Ghost is super cool. It's like right out of like Metal Gear Solid or something. But
that character's got a sympathetic backstory.
They don't go full villain with her
and the whole thing. So it lacked a little bit of
Who are we rooting against?
Right.
I mean, it's a MacGuffin movie. Who's got who's got the briefcase and we got the briefcase and now you got the briefcase.
They're chasing
and
around.
And if I got the briefcase,
you
can't have the briefcase, so we're going to chase around and do the briefcase. Right. I mean,
perfectly likable and enjoyable.
Yeah, it was fun.
I liked all, and Evangeline Lilly and Paul Rudd have good chemistry, actually, right. I think,
and again, if you're asking the question, and we'll try to not ruin anything, but... If you're, at the end of Infinity War, if you're wondering, is there more on the end of Infinity War?
Sure.
Which, even if you didn't see Infinity War, you probably know what the end of Infinity War is at this point. Mm. It's in there. I mean, without saying it, it's in there.
Yeah.
And whatever.
The second stinger is as useless as
ever
done.
And that was a thing, and I'm glad. I wish I had talked to you before you saw it.
Yeah.
Because I saw it opening night, and I was going to tell you, just fucking get out of the theater before this is over. Not only that, I was watching Fox 2 News, I think the morning this came out, and Lee Thomas was running just some B-roll of it, and the stinger was in the B-roll. So I'm guessing that was a thing that was just kind of cut out of the main body of the movie and kind of thrown out of the end. But yeah, I mean, there was which was the one where Captain America comes on and goes, "Hey, you waited around for the end of this."
Oh,
and wasn't
Spider-Man
that a waste
Homecoming,
of time? Was it Spider-Man Homecoming?
Okay. With the stingers. Now they're doing two stingers. They're doing
a mid-credit
sequence, and then they do at the
and
end.
And that's fine because you only wait like 2 minutes.
But
for
if
that.
You're going to make us wait till the end of it, make it something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Make it like, okay, in Infinity War,
yeah,
the one at the end was setting up stuff. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it at the end of it or was that in the mid-credits? I can't.
Well, the mid-credit was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, okay.
And then the end, what was the end? I mean, without giving it away, but who was in the end?
I don't even remember now.
Of Infinity War?
They should put the impactful thing at the very end.
No. They couldn't because then people walk out and they miss
the shit.
I mean, it used to be that I think now Marvel's formula is the mid-credit one is setting up the next movie, and then the end-credit one is
a joke. Yeah.
I mean, and that's fine, because if you walk out, especially in this one, you do yourself a favor and walk out, because those credits are long.
The joke is
not and it's not a good joke, yeah. And it's a bad joke, and it's like it's a joke that's kind of already been done in the body of the film.
Yeah. It didn't make any sense.
I mean, I guess there is another thing about there are other people and their fates are hinted at in that second stinger, but you got to really read. Like, I didn't even get that when I watched it, but I watched a YouTube video that said, oh, yeah, these guys.
Well, God knows there's.
Oh,
I watched 5 YouTube videos complaining about the pinball DLC being taken down. There's a YouTube video about everything. Then there's a guy reacting to the other guy.
Did you watch? Was it Angry Joe?
No, it wasn't
Angry. I like Angry Joe, even though I don't watch him.
There's like pinball guys.
Oh, he was pinball. Oh, this was pinball guys or video game guys?
Well, the pinball guys comment on the video game pinball machine.
Pinball guys.
It's anyway. There's guys that, by the way, there's guys that like rebuild these pinball machines build tables that didn't get finished.
Pinball mod communities.
And it's a crazy, like, I'm like, where do these guys get this money? And the one guy was like, you better like working on pinball machines.
Was it Jim Sterling?
No.
He's a big fat
English guy. Is he
English
a big
guy?
Dude? Anyway, there was one guy that was like, it was a video game guy talking to a pinball guy about like, how do you get into the pinball hobby, right? He's like,
okay, this is how it goes. I'm video game guy, you're pinball guy, okay.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got laid? It's been like 8 years for me.
Yeah.
That's the conversation that I'm expecting. Well, when the camera turns off, that's the
pinball guys are all the pinball guys are all 50.
Yeah.
Because
they're older than the video game guys.
You
gotta
have money to build these, or I don't know, some of them are younger, but like you gotta have money to buy pinball machines.
Yeah.
Because they're all, you know, the cheap ones are...
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
A cheap one is $2,500.
Yeah.
And then you're getting $6,000 pinball machines. And they're just like, they're crazy expensive. And then the one guy's like, well, basically it's like old cars.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
You better want to work on soldering shit.
Believe me, as a guy who's getting into the guitar world,
yeah,
exact same shit. You got to be able to fix
like
these,
I've always dreamt
repair
about
these dump my, oh, I'm going to buy I'm yeah. going to buy a 50s Les Paul and then you're going to dump money into it
I've
every 6
I've always dreamt
months
about if I had a super nice house I'd get a couple pinball machines for the basement and whatever.
Yeah.
But like this it's a lot of work.
Well, that was the thing, you know, I remember being a kid and it was like my dad's boss would have us over for Christmas. And, like, this rich guy had pinball machines, you know?
Yeah.
And my one uncle had, like, a pinball machine because he's a wealthy guy.
One of the guys in my film group's got one in his base. He's got World Cup 94, actually. It was a great game.
So, speaking of that.
Which was taken off the DLC, by the way. Anyway.
Well, is there any... So, Ant-Man, we're both recommending it, but only if you saw the first Ant-Man.
Right.
And if you really like Marvel, I think it... sort of is good in that way. I think it scratches the itch. I don't think just on a strict pass fail or is it better than the original Ant-Man?
Probably not.
No, because it can't stand on its own, but as a sequel I thought it was a good sequel. A lot of jargon. I mean, I think there's a point in this where you're not even supposed to take the jargon seriously. Like, it's almost comedy how much explanation of scientific shit is in this at a point where I'm kind of like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be laughing now and not trying to follow the physics, the nuclear physics that they're discussing. I don't know if you watch the credits, because you fucking have to see the second stinger. There were scientific consultants on Ant-Man, and I don't know how those guys. That's just, why not get a gun and rob a bank? I guess it's just easier to be a scientific consultant on a fucking Marvel
movie.
You're
trying to tell me the micro, micro dimension or whatever, all that other, yeah.
All right, we're going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio. All we appreciate Metro Late Night with Corey Hall next week. Bill Bouchard joint.
I'm like the bottom of that lineup, Jeff Horst.
Would you rather be the top or the bottom, Corey? Yeah, what would you rather be?
It's a good question.
But go see Corey at that. I'll be at the Gathering of the Juggalos next week for all you Juggalo fans of this podcast. We'll see you there. Thanks for listening. Go catch up on The Staircase. Watch Darren Brown.
Whoa,
good stuff.
Hey,
I like Darren Brown.
All right then,
he's good. Take care. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll hear you. Go say hi to Corey at Metro Late Night, ComedyCastle.com, 542 248-254-2900. We're out of here. Later.